That's it. Anything else you want to mention? Didn't think so. What's up? This is Movies On Up, the next chapter in the Conjuring universe. That is a tagline. It's not just a declarative statement, but I have a declarative statement, and it is my co-host is seated right across me. That's Mr. Dave Becella.
The next chapter in Movies On Up, co-host.
Exactly. The first and next chapter. That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. The declarative statement that doubles for a tagline this week is the next chapter in the Conjuring universe. And I feel like that's a tagline that could have applied to many movies in the Conjuring universe. This is the most apropos.
I think it could be relevant to any chapter of the Conjuring universe
outside
that is coming out.
Yeah, outside of maybe The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. So really, I guess if you just want to guess.
It could be Conjuring 2.
It could be.
Annabelle.
Absolutely.
The Nun.
Sure.
Conjuring 3.
Mm-hmm.
Conjuring Comes Home. Annabelle.
Comes Home as well.
Electric Boogaloo.
Scared Stupid. Any,
I would watch that.
I would. Any of the Conjuring movies, I guess, at this point will suffice. If you want to guess any of those, you can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess to us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and if you win, we will scare up for you a prize package.
Next chapter.
A doll
movies
of
on
a prize,
up, prize packages.
Yeah. This week, lots of dolls.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This, I forgot why we were doing this, even though we just discussed
it. At length discussed it.
Okay, so Toy Story 4 and Chucky come out.
Yes.
The new Child's Play come out this week.
Right.
So when I first wrote the calendar, I like toys. 1992, Robert Zemeckis starring Robin Williams. I'm going to sneak a toys episode in. We can do toys. LL Cool J, Joan Cusack. Love that movie. Let's do it. And then Ryan realizes it's not up for rent anywhere. So then started.
And it's not a movie that's on my. I have 700 movies. That's not one of the ones on the wall for a reason.
Yeah. So couldn't do that.
Nope.
I haven't seen any Toy Story. Didn't really feel like doing that.
I was going to suggest that because Toy Story is good. I would watch it again.
Then it was like, oh, Anna comes out from Luc Besson.
Yes.
Because I asked, have we done The Professional? No, but we've done Luc Besson. We've done Natalie Portman. And that movie has come up and probably been number one both times.
Safe bet.
So I thought, okay, what about Hannah? Because it rhymes with Anna. Or Annabelle, since it starts with Anna and it's about a toy.
Yeah, I didn't put the Annabelle thing together because I believe that was my suggestion. Was like,
early,
okay,
yeah,
we could do The Toy. I'm a big fan of that, the Richard Pryor movie, or
Puppet Master.
Yes, any of the Puppet Masters, Annabelle, Killer Dolls.
Yeah, that was early. And then when I started looking at Anna or Hannah, then I just bit the bullet and said, screw it, let's do Annabelle.
So Annabelle works for multiple reasons because she is perhaps a killer toy and it starts with Anna.
But beyond that, Annabelle Creation
yes.
works for even more reasons because we could both watch it for free through our HBO subscription.
Yes, that works as well.
And we like David F. Sandberg.
Right. We like David F. Sandberg. There is an Annabelle sequel that is imminent. So the movie did make sense to do. And to be honest, I had not, at least I don't think I've seen any Annabelle movies. So if it's, do I want to watch something new or watch something I've already seen? A lot of times I like to see the new thing just because.
And here's the thing. I talk up James Wan a lot.
We
do. And the Waniverse.
And we will again.
But they're not for me. So this is the kind of thought that has to go into convincing me to watch one of these movies because I know they're not for me.
You have to strip away all other
yes.
options.
Yes. They're not bad. I'm not going to say they're bad. I understand why they make money. I'm not out here saying James Wan is terrible because I don't like his movies. They're just not for me. They're the type of horror movies that I skip unless I have to watch one for an episode.
So prior to today or yesterday, both of us had skipped David F. Sandberg's Annabelle Creation from 2017, starring Miranda Otto, Anthony LaPaglia, Stephanie Stigman, and Talitha Bateman.
And McKenna Grace, probably, I assume.
You would assume, although they had her up their sleeve for the Annabelle Comes Home. The movie opened to $35 million on August 11th, 2017. Dunkirk, The Nut Job 2. The Dark Tower and Girls Trip round out your top five that week. Annabelle Creation went on to gross $102 million domestically, which puts it at number 696 on the all-time domestic list. It is one spot above Denzel Washington's sequel.
Equalizer 2.
Equalizer 2, indeed. And one spot below this 1942 Disney classic, which is dear to many.
Bambi.
It is Bambi.
What was the budget on this?
I don't know.
I would guess 30 or 40. I guess I have one of those boxes, too, that tells us stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
$15 million.
Okay. I would have guessed 30 or 40.
$15 million, and we've said it before, but if you want to know how movies get made, your budget's $15 million. You make $35 million your opening weekend. Guess what that means?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not only is that movie a success, but there's going to be another one. Hence, the Annabelle Comes Home this year.
This is prime in the summer now. Like, yes. This is... Ma just came out last week, I believe it was. I don't know when the... whenever this time is relative.
In
Who
the
cares?
Past.
In the past. Ma had a $5 million budget. It made $18 million its opening weekend. That's a massive hit.
Now
I'm
we
sorry.
Got Pa coming.
If you triple your budget opening weekend, that's a hit. I don't care.
And we have talked about this a lot with this idea of funding a lot of small horror movies. And small, I mean small budgets. And if you hit on one or two of them, they end up funding the next round. Blumhouse has done that very, very successfully. James Wan has done that very, very successfully. So when we talk about $102 million and how it's just cracking the top 700 movies domestically, that doesn't sound impressive on the ear, but I think this is something that needs a little bit of context. Including Annabelle Creation, only 16 horror movies ever, R-rated horror movies, have grossed $100 million domestically. Four of those are in the Conjuring universe. The Conjuring, The Nun, The Conjuring 2, and this one. We have mentioned on many occasions how with even like the recent success of somebody like Jordan Peele, who incidentally has two R-rated horror movies that have grossed well in excess of $100 million, I don't think that there's anybody that's had a bigger imprint on horror in the 21st century than James Wan.
On mainstream horror. On getting horror out there. But that trickles down. Because if people go see a $15 million Conjuring, or whatever this movie is, the doll one.
Annabelle Creation.
Yes,
Annabelle Creation.
Can make, you know, $100 million. Then you could take a Ma that's made for $5 million and put it out in the summer. You can take, find a young guy like Ari and throw Hereditary out and do well enough with that that he's got a follow-up coming out.
Midsummer.
It does come out in midsummer.
It does.
So it all trickles down. And I feel like there's a negative connotation to studio horror from like true horror fans. This is where we get kind of film snobby, I guess, and we try to avoid that. But I feel like there is this genre of horror fans to where the Wannaverse doesn't exist because they're not into studio horror. And I get it. I do get it. They're not for me. But when a movie, a $15 million horror movie, makes over $100 million, that trickles down to the smaller movies. Maw, instead of being something you have to catch on demand 3 or 4 years ago,
right,
is now a major release that's got a lot of marketing behind it.
And you mentioned Ari Aster and Hereditary and Midsommar. Those were movies that you would never have a chance in hell of seeing in theaters. And these are getting not just theatrical releases, but theatrical releases. So that is very, very exciting. Something that Dave mentions a lot, we do like our sports analogies on this show, and this week is chock full of them, so buckle up. Dave mentions coaching trees a lot, where one coach works under a legend before beginning a career of their own. Bill Walsh's coaching tree in the NFL is one that's oft mentioned because it has produced the likes of Mike Holmgren, George Seifert, Mike Shanahan, Mike Sherman, Tony Dungy, Brian Billick. Six Super Bowls between those guys. While Juan has not been around as long as Bill Walsh, his tree is starting to bear some fruit. Lee Wannell is a guy that directed Insidious Chapter 3, as well as last year's movie that we liked
Upgrade.
An awful lot.
He
Upgrade.
Did Upgrade. He's written a lot of stuff.
Wrote a lot of the Wannaverse stuff.
Yeah. Upgrade is the kind of movie where like, okay, yeah, we can throw that to Wannell. But he's also now doing The Invisible Man in
right.
the Dark Universe. So
yep.
like,
and the Escape from New York reboot.
Yeah, so he's getting these bigger movies, which is good because I love his writing. Cooties, I thought, was a lot of fun.
Yes.
And He writes fun stuff. Upgrade. Upgrade's a really dark movie, but it's really funny. It's a fun, funny, dark movie.
It's like if they decided that they wanted to write jokes into Black Mirror.
I mean,
the similar dread for technology becoming the death of us all. But David F. Sandberg is also a guy that is starting to become that next branch of the Wan tree. James Wan produced Sandberg's debut, Lights Out, which is a movie that we've talked a fair amount
about. We did an episode on it.
Yeah.
It's based on a 10-minute short, mm-hmm. not even 10-minute short that he did.
Which is kind of the same way Wan came up with his short for
they
Saw.
They did the scene out of Saw. And
right.
And him and Wannell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously we loved Lights Out. And then giving him Annabelle Creation as the follow-up to that. Okay, so you're giving him now another opportunity within your universe, and he took advantage of that. And perhaps because of that success as much as Wan's relationship with DC, then Sandberg's a guy that's directing Shazam this year, which has done really, really well. Those three movies have averaged $102 million domestically, with Shazam and Lights Out both hitting $300 million. Worldwide. That's not too shabby.
No. And it's all about finding that home. Sandberg found Wan, who brought him up. Somebody like Mike Flanagan, he's found a home at Netflix where he's putting out a ton of content for them and is a really exciting young director. And it all comes from Wan. And that's what's not, it's not hyperbole to think that like James Wan has reshaped studio horror, that has reshaped lower budget horror, which has shaped your ground budget horror. Everything is trickled down.
It is very much a trickle down effect. And I can remember prior to Saw, years of Octobers going by and like, man, we don't really have horror movies. Or if you do, that's the only month they're released.
Well, and that was the thing, is it was a transition. It went from like, I can't wait for October because we'll have two or three horror movies come out. And then it got to a point where it's like, oh, it's October, and we're maybe getting one that looks like garbage, to then none. And then now we're getting them in August. We're getting them in June, July, August, September, March.
And we broke that down a couple months ago, and we were basically talking about that low-risk, high-reward system of funding horror movies where you're seeing a lot more in the first quarter, second quarter. So now they're pretty much spread out throughout the year. And I do give Wan and the Blumhouse guys specifically the lion's share of the credit for that. And while it's giving us some really great horror movies, it's also giving us some really good directors. And I haven't had the chance to see Shazam yet, but the two movies that I have watched from Sandberg, I like what he brings to the table. And specifically as it relates to Annabelle, what I loved so much about his work in this movie is how much he moved the camera. There's a real sense of motion to his shots. And the scene, it's relatively early in the movie where Mr. Mullins is showing the girls the house, I think really shows it off. The camera moves and lets the audience float around so much that you kind of feel like you're a spirit watching these kids.
Mike Flanagan had nothing to do with this movie. He's not from
nothing
the Wan tree. But I feel him and Sandberg are very similar directors, because Flanagan does a lot of that too, especially in Haunting of Hill House. He had 10 episodes to just go nuts, and there's the one that's the one continuous scene. He moves the camera a lot, and you're getting that in horror now. So it's not just jump scares. It's not just noises. You're using the camera. You're utilizing the camera, and you're adding to it. That scene was great with the walking around, because it felt like these are orphans that are in this really nice house now. And he does move the camera a lot in a bottle type scenario. Most of the movie takes place in this house and on this farm or whatever. Just like Flanagan with Haunting Hill House, a lot of the best camera work came from inside Hill House. So there's not this stigma that like, oh, to be confined in a horror movie, you have to be confined and just point A to point B. No, you have these directors now. They're allowed to direct because Wan, you know, he's a director. He's not just good at pointing the camera and making scary stuff happen. He's a fantastic director. Like Aquaman, it's a garbage movie, but he did well. Like, it's a well-directed movie. And that's, although I'll say that about any of the Wan movies. As he's grown, I don't think Saw was particularly well-directed, but that was him getting
into...
Not
well-directed, I mean, well-written.
Yeah, well-written. It was a nice take, but I feel like that it was also his introduction. Mm-hmm. So he's grown from there. And to see him, Sandberg, I thought this movie was garbage. I thought this movie was very boring and trash, but very, very well made. The growth of Sandberg just from Lights Out, which I liked, mm-hmm. to this, from a directing standpoint, I thought was awesome to see. I haven't seen Shazam yet, but I think you would have to grow a little bit just to tackle the superhero genre.
I guess that's sort of the key, is neither of us, I liked The Conjuring well enough, and I liked the Insidious stuff.
See, I liked one of them until the end.
You liked Insidious until the end.
Okay, that's the Rose Byrne one, right?
Yes,
okay.
That is the Rose
yeah,
Byrne.
I like that one. I don't know if I saw The Conjuring all the way through. That's Vera.
Vera Farmiga. And
I don't know if I saw the whole thing.
I have seen both of them. I liked the first one well enough. The second one I didn't particularly care as much for. But this, for me, was about watching the director. And I think I agree with you that I'm not like a fan of the Annabelle series now. I don't see myself running out to watch the first one if I haven't already. But I do agree that this was well made. I think the performances were managed pretty well. And you have an R-rated horror movie, but there wasn't an over-reliance on gore. For the longest time, I was trying to figure out whether or not this movie was rated R. And it wasn't until the fingers started to bend back yeah. that I was like, oh, okay, it probably is. And there's not even an over-reliance of jump scares.
No, but here's my beef with this movie.
Beef away.
I don't know Annabelle. I knew it was a doll. I don't yes. know the story. I don't know anything.
Well, it's a good place to start.
Was
the
it?
Creation.
Because I know nothing about Annabelle now. Like, I still don't know anything about this doll. And this is, when I say, like, they make movies that aren't for me, like, this is a perfect example of the movie that's not for me. Because what are Annabelle's powers? What can Annabelle do? Apparently anything she damn well pleases. That's what turns me off of a lot of witch movies, is they just have so much power that there's nothing off limits. Chucky, I'm not a giant fan of the Child's Play movies, but he's a doll that's running down and he's going to stab you. Freddy comes in your dreams, and that's his power. You know, a vampire, they're, you know,
you're cool in the day, unless you live in Washington.
You know, they're Batman. They're, you know their strength and their weakness. You have an idea. But like with Annabelle, I don't know what she does. I don't know how she can be defeated. I left this prequel of Annabelle. I know nothing about Annabelle.
You're right.
How'd she get possessed? I don't know. Is it the 12-year-old? I don't know. I mean, I guess they kind of explained it, but why are you mad, bro? Like, I get it. Cars are dicks, but why this? I don't understand any of it. I don't get it.
As an origin story, this is rough.
Yeah,
you're right. But I go into it thinking, is it somehow this doll is haunted or possessed? So we're going to find out exactly how that's come to be. And you sort of get it in that, okay, this kid got run over by a car. Her parents were grief-stricken. So this spirit was able to possess the doll, which you've got me to that point.
But the doll doesn't do anything.
You're right. And then they basically tell you that the doll is like a conduit because it needs a human host. But then they figured it out and they locked the doll away and everything was cool until somehow, even still being locked away, the doll was able to get into mischief. That's the part that bothers me. At that point, it's not about a haunted doll. If the doll's sealed
in
this...
There's just ghosts.
Yeah.
It's a ghost
story. It's a haunted house movie.
Yeah. Granted, I've seen maybe half of The Conjuring, so I'm not the one to pass judgment on the Conjuring-verse, because I don't know.
This is just a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, I mean, maybe I'm missing something, because maybe I know more about Annabelle if I'd have seen The Conjuring or Annabelle.
Not really. Maybe the original Annabelle, because kind of where this one ends... It's exactly where the other one begins, with the guy getting his throat cut. And
see, I kind of figured that. That happened, and I thought, like, did I miss something?
No, that was supposed to lead you into something, in theory, you had already seen. But at that point, we are well past colon creation. I think I came out of this movie more confused about what Annabelle was than I was before I saw the movie, which is never a good thing when you're looking at an origin story for something.
I get taken so far out of it when it's like, I don't know what their powers are. I don't know how you beat them. I think one of my favorite things about horror movies is being able to put myself in that situation. If I'm a wheelchair-bound kid, how am I fighting a werewolf in Silver Bullet? I know how to beat a werewolf. I'm going to say I could do it. Like,
right.
Monster Squad. Like, I know what they're up against.
Yeah, kick them in the nards.
Yes. So, like...
If you're in a wheelchair, that's tough.
Like, if
punch
I'm watching, The Descent. Okay, what would I do in this scenario?
Die.
Like, Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I wouldn't even last. I would die before the monsters show up. Like when they're in that. When they're in that, like
I would have died. I'd have fallen in that cave.
When they're in that little. When they're crawling through that, I would have just been like, "Go on without me. I'm just here. I'm
this is where it ends. For Mr. Dave.
Yes. I'm done. They're, but you're fine. You only have 10 feet. Just go.
It's a bridge too far.
Yes. Just go. I would be the guy that I wouldn't even make it to the monsters in the descent. But like I want to know how to beat what I'm up against. And with something like this, it's like, maybe that's why I'm not drawn so much to haunted house movies, because stuff just happens. Like, how do you beat it? There's no, like, clear cut. Like,
most of it
is
you just escape the house, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the end of it, is you just get the hell out of there, and maybe you're going to be okay, or maybe the entity.
Maybe Bent Neck Lady catches up to you years later.
Exactly. It's going to attach itself to you. Part of, I think, what makes these movies interesting to people is that they're based off the Warrens who have had these experiences. So this is, quote unquote, based off something real, which, you know, we're looking at things like Blair Witch, and people have convinced themselves that that is a documentary. I think the realness, people are interested in this story. Now, I'm not sure that Annabelle Creation is like, this is before the Warrens were involved with this doll. So I'm not sure how much of that is canon, so to speak. But if these are real occurrences, you, Dave, would be left to figure out what would you do with this haunted doll. You have no idea. So in that respect, I can understand these people not really knowing what to do other than, like, let me just do a rosary and lock that bitch in a closet. Get the hell out of there. I have less of a problem with there isn't a roadmap to victory as there is for things that I presume do not exist, such as the Nosferatus, the Lycans, things of that sort. So this may be a rare... Usually, we either both don't like the movie or we both like it, and we kind of just shit on the whole thing. This is one where I think we're trying to say, like, in 2015, LeBron had a hell of an NBA Finals, should have been the Finals MVP in a losing effort. David Sandberg's, like, the Finals MVP in a losing effort here. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's just not for me. I don't want to say I don't like... I thought this movie was garbage, but I feel bad saying, like, I didn't like this movie because I went into it knowing that it wasn't for me. That's like me eating collard greens casserole, knowing that I don't like collard greens or casseroles, and then saying, you're a garbage chef, because I know I'm not going to like it.
Because you made a dish that wasn't my taste.
Yes, it's just not for me.
Which I think is fair.
I found it very, very boring. The story didn't make any sense. I didn't like the antagonist. I mean, the characters were okay. I mean, the little girls were fine. But, like, I don't know anything about any of them. I couldn't name two characters out of this movie. But, I mean, that's probably true for any movie I watch. There's just not anything there for me. And I knew that going in.
Not necessarily, but I think our criticisms of, in an origin movie, not fully understanding what is being originated, I think is a fair criticism. It is a bit more of a slow burn than I had thought that it was going to be going in, which doesn't really bother me.
Which is one of the slowest burns out there, and I liked it a lot.
Yes, that was very atmospheric, and this movie did that in parts, not to the level to which The Witch did.
Or even Hill House. Like, I mean, I hate to keep going back to Flanagan and Hill House, but one is a haunted house story that I grew to love because you really got the characters and you understood the haunting, and then there's this one.
I mean, I think it's safe to say no matter what it is that we did like about this movie, there was something to like about it, I believe. We're maybe a little bit harder on this than most people would be, but I certainly don't feel that it was an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. I don't particularly care for these movies, but I will probably continue to watch them. Maybe I won't catch all of them, but I'll watch the ones that are going to introduce us to some of what I would call the next big things in the genre. The Annabelle sequel later this year is going to be directed by Gary Dauberman, who wrote the previous two Annabelle movies, which maybe is not a pro as far as seeing this movie. But he also wrote The Nun, which did pretty well, and he wrote a couple movies about a clown demon that have made, at least the first one, made all the money. Another one of the R-rated.
He wrote both It's, and he wrote on the DC Universe show of Swamp Thing, which I haven't watched yet, but it looks very horror-ish.
Sure. You know, that's a guy that...
Similar to Lee Whannell.
Right.
Like, Lee Whannell wrote for Juan a lot, and then Conjuring Insidious 3, he directed it. Now he's doing big time movies. Mm-hmm. So Gary Dauberman,
he may
same
be
kind of projector.
Right, maybe the trajectory. Next maybe the next branch on that tree. I liken these movies to watching, to finish out the sports analogies, watching a minor league baseball game. These are guys that you don't know them now, but you're going to know their names in the next 5 to 10 years because they're going to be making big projects. They may not be to the level of Jordan Peele, but they're still making projects that Shazam was a big success as far as DC movies.
For that character,
right.
It did about as well as I think you could expect it to.
Yeah, and it was received much better than a lot of the DC movies that had made more money have been. So I think that bodes well for people coming up out of the Wan system. So I like horror well enough. I'll never feel like my time's wasted necessarily watching a horror movie. And if I'm able to see, if Wan's picking a guy, he sees something in him. So I think it's worth at least my time to take a look at it, even if it may not be the subject matter that I care as much about or the formula that I care as much about. But
I mean, I still probably won't watch many of the Wanaverse movies just because I'm so far behind now and they're just not for me. But I'll watch what they do outside of that. Like if Sandberg gets a big gig doing something else, you know, I mean, other than Shazam.
Yeah. Which I think is likely.
Was a modest enough hit. Plus this hit, he's going to keep getting work. Dauberman might be that guy come up there. Wannell. I'm always going to be interested in his career just because I feel like he's one of those I've seen from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Just like Juan. Because
right.
I watched that clip of Saw like it went when it went
the
online.
Shawnee Smith thing.
Yeah, when it went online and thought like, I want to see that movie. And then that movie came out. I saw that movie. And then I didn't watch any of the 9 sequels. But, I mean, that's fine. Do you have that list of 16 R-rated horror movies handy? I had a question that I meant to ask back when we talked about it.
Fire away.
So 4 of them are Wannaverse movies.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of the other 16, did any Insidious make that?
No. Insidious, I don't believe, was rated R.
Oh, okay. What about the Saw movies?
The first Saw movie that we come across on the list is Saw 2 at 19, which made $87 million.
So none of the Saws made 100.
No, that's correct.
Okay. I just didn't know if he had a bigger imprint on of those 16 than just those 4.
So let's run it down. And we've done this recently. It is number 1 with $327 million. Exorcist, Get Out, and Us, 3 and 4. Halloween from last year made 159. Blair Witch is at 6 with 140. Then you have The Conjuring, The Nun, 7 and 8. Paranormal Activity, 107. Interview with a Vampire, $105 million.
That's as sneaky in there.
It certainly is. Paranormal Activity 3 at 11. Scream at 12. The Conjuring 2 at 13. Annabelle Creation at 14. Scream 2 at 15. And the last R-rated horror movie to make over $100 million, Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, so some surprises.
Yeah,
I think
I was
some more surprises that weren't on there. Like, I thought more Saw would be on there.
That shows you how difficult it is to make $100 million as an R-rated horror
and
movie.
And only 2 of the Screams.
Speaking of horror movies, R-rated horror movies, Danny Boyle directed 1 that did not make at least 1. I mean,
2-ish.
Yeah, but for sure, 28 Days Later, absolutely an R-rated horror movie. Did not make over $100 million, but it didn't stop him from making movies and winning Academy Awards. He has a movie coming out next week called Yesterday. That's the one we talked about in our summer preview where the fella is playing Beatles music at coffee shops and such. And then the next day he wakes up and no one knows who the Beatles are.
Except, but yeah, he still remembers all their songs.
He does. So he gets to play those.
I think that's a great premise.
It's a fun premise. Yeah, it's unique. Danny Boyle's a guy that if he makes it, we will come. He didn't need to come from the James Wan system to get that distinction with us. So next week, we are doing, because we have done a music biopic. We did The Dirt a couple weeks ago. We are doing our favorite movies featuring characters that are musicians, but it's not a biopic.
Yeah, non-biopic musician
right.
movies.
So not actual.
We'll talk more about it next week because I don't think I've ever had as many rules that I followed in an episode. So we'll talk about that next week, which I'm kind of excited for that episode.
The movies, at least on the list, I'm pretty happy with. I think they're cool movies. I'm excited to talk about them. I'm excited to talk about the musical acts that are on the list, but to find out, I guess, if either of us broke the rules or broke the other's rules, or what the hell these rules even were, that's next week. Right.